As I don't like saying always already, but as it's probably going to be true for the next bunch of weeks at least, our learning should be as chus for all of Am Yisrael and all of the Chayalim, and just Klal Yisrael needs chuyos, so all the learning should help with that.
And the hostages.
And the hostages, of course. Yes, thank you. So last week we discussed the importance of starting Shabbos early and ending it late. So the next natural topic, if we're going chronologically, is right around the same time that we accept Shabbos, is at least for many, is when you light Hadlakas Neros, when you light the Shabbos candle. So then that's a way of accepting Shabbos early. So I thought that we should spend a few weeks on Neros Shabbos and everything about it. Most of what we'll be discussing is from Rav Rimon's third Sefer. He has some beautiful Sfarim and his third. So he had only two on the Malachos, and then he published two more. And I immediately got my hands on them, and they're excellent. This happened, I don't know, I bought it a couple months ago. So I never knew too much about candlelighting. I think everyone knows something about candlelighting. We actually get these books, which are non-denominational books shipped to us for free, called PJ Library or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
PJ for pajamas?
I don't think for pajamas. Maybe J is for Jewish is my guess. I'm not sure what P is for, but it's random books. Some of them are like, this is not the Judaism I know, and some of them are like, oh, okay, that's a nice idea. So the one we got most recently was actually all about what Erev Shabbos looks like, and they light Shabbos candles, so that's something universal, no matter, you know, what sect of Judaism you're talking about. It's, you know, a centerpiece of what Shabbos looks like, and because it's so central, I think a lot of people know a lot about it, but they don't necessarily know everything. I certainly knew very, very little prior to preparing these shurim. So today is going to be more of an intro shir, and then hopefully we'll do some of the more nitty-gritty going forward. Okay, so let's jump in. So the Gemara in Shabbos, this is on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, if you look in source 1, says very straightforwardly, Amar Rav Nachman bar Rava Amar Rav. So Rav Nachman had a tradition in the name of Rav Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. Lighting candles for Shabbos is a chova, it is a requirement. So what's the reason why we light Shabbos candles? That's going to be the focus for most of today's shir. So there's one answer I'd always heard. Why do we light Shabbos candles? Because of, fill in the blank, anyone ever hear of, okay, good.
Have light when it's dark.
Okay, good, to have light when it's dark. So that, why do we want light?
Shalom bayis,
thank you. Okay, yeah. So I'd always heard shalom bayis. So let's hold off on that. If you look in most of the Rishonim, shalom bayis is not the main reason. That's we'll get to that. That is a reason. But before that, if you look at Rashi, why is it a chova? Rashi says, the reason it's a chova in source 2 is kavod Shabbosu. It's a form of kavod Shabbos. Now, a question is, and let's finish off this Rashi, se'ein se'uda chashuva el b'makom or ke'ein yamam. Why? Because a se'uda, a meal, a meal is only chashuva. It's only a significant meal. If you have light, if you eat in the dark, it's not a very enjoyable meal. I don't know if anyone's ever tried eating in the dark. Well, this is saying the candles are going to go and make it, meaning pitch black.
I was at a Shabbos dinner that the timer on their lights was going poorly designed. And so they had to change the timer, and we ended up eating by candle.
I was there. Okay. Once. I was someplace like that once.
I went to the Blind Museum in Israel.
Yes.
That's pitch black. Like, I did not... Only half the time did I actually get the food that I was aiming for.
Right. So Rashi mentions this thing. We'll mention one other idea shortly. But first of all, what's Kavod Shabbos? What's Oneg Shabbos? So just a little bit of background. There's two mitzvos, Midrabanan, which exist on Shabbos. If you look at the Rambam, I gave you in source 4, he gives you like the introduction to Shabbos. He says, Arba Dvarim Ne'emru B'Shabbos. There's four things, four mitzvos which were said with respect to Shabbos. Shnai mina Torah, two of them are biblical. Ushnai midibrei sofrim, and two of them are rabbinic. Vein mufurash na yidei nevim, but they come already from the times of the nevim. Shebetorah zachor v'shamar. The two mitzvos of Shabbos, which are deoraisa, are zachor and shamar, are to remember Shabbos and to keep Shabbos, to make kiddush at the very least. Maybe havdalah is the zachor, and shamar is keeping all of the prohibitions. Ushnis parshua al yidei hanevim is kavod ve'oneg. And what is the two mitzvos which we have from the Nevi'im, which are Midrabanan? Those are kavod, respecting or honoring Shabbos, ve'oneg, and enjoying Shabbos. And the pasuk which taught us that was Shne'emar, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg l'gdosh Hashem michubat. So we have this pasuk which mentions that Shabbos should be oneg, and there should be this kavod. So what's oneg? Oneg really means enjoyment. Kavod means honor or respect. So the Rambam spells it out. If you look in Halacha Beis, what's kavod? Maybe we'll just say outside. Outside, I would say kavod is any action you do before Shabbos, specifically before Shabbos, to show honor to Shabbos. So I'm doing something which demonstrates my a perspective of respect, of appreciation for Shabbos. That's kavod Shabbos. And oneg Shabbos is that on Shabbos you should have a good time, basically. Enjoy good food. And we'll just see, the Rambam gives examples in source 4 still, now in Halacha Beis. Ezu kavod. So what is kavod? And he gives a whole bunch of examples. We'll read some of them. Zesh amu chachamim shem mitzvah adam lechotz panav yadav v'raglav. You're supposed to wash your face and you're take a shower, basically. Bechamin be'erev Shabbos. Mibnei kavod Shabbos. Especially back in the day when they were probably only showering like once a week. So if you shower just this one time before Shabbos, you demonstrate that Shabbos is the day which you consider the most significant. It's a form of honoring Shabbos to take your shower prior to Shabbos specifically.
I take a shower once a week, whether I need it or not.
Right. So you should take once a week, whether you need it or not.
Well, now you should put this.
This one, there. You'll say quietly.
I happen to be a Shabbat person mostly instead of a bath person, but way back in the day, when I was much younger. I take a bath once a month, whether I need it or not.
Okay.
So I think you get my
very good. So moving on with I don't think they're going to hear that. So that's probably good. So what else should we do as a form of kavod Shabbos? And we atev betzitzis, and you should put on your talis. We don't really do this nowadays to put on our talis before Shabbos. V'yoshev bechoved rosh meichel lehakbalas pnei haShabbos, and you sit there excited but serious to greet Shabbos. Kamosh hu yotze likras hamelch, the same way one would prepare to greet the king. You get into a mood, a mindset of Shabbos is coming. Let's. Yes, they'd go into the field, they'd say, Bo, Neitze, Likras, Shabbos, Malka, and we do something similar like that with the Chadodi. We turn around maybe specifically to the exit door, so that there's a whole bunch of minhagim about originally where we used to turn to. But part of the idea is we're greeting the Shabbos queen coming. So that's kavod, this idea of honoring, showing some form of honor, excitement for Shabbos. And then jumping to Halacha Zayin, Ezehu Oneg, what is... I'm skipping one halacha here. What is oneg Shabbos? Zeh she'amru chacham shetzayich lesaken tav shel shamein biyoser. You're supposed to have the most delicious, you know, I'm giving a modern day example, but have your best food, have your steak for Shabbos. Umashke mevusam, and you should have your best drinks for Shabbos. The Shabbos hakol lefi mamonos shalom. Whatever you can afford, that's what you should set aside for Shabbos. Shabbos should be your best meals of the week. So Rashi says that it's a form of kavod Shabbos. The way which you demonstrate your respect for Shabbos is you're saying this is a su'udah chashuva, a chashuv su'udah, a chashuv important su'udah. Eating in the dark is not a chashuv su'udah. If I want to show that this is something I appreciate, so I light Shabbos candles, specifically by the su'udah, to go and demonstrate my respect, my excitement, my appreciation for Shabbos. If you look at Tosfos disagrees. He says, Hadlakas ner Shabbos b'Shabbos chova, this is in source 3. Perish b'makom su'udah, you have to light where the su'udah is. Dechova hi sheyisod b'makom haner mishum oneg. So there's a nuance here, but the reason why you have to have candles over here is because of oneg Shabbos. You enjoy your meal the most when you have a candlelit meal. It's not so much about showing respect for Shabbos, but just because we want during Shabbos for you to enjoy. We'll get to it shortly, that those seem a little similar. I'll just tell you a story. I was debating whether to say, but I'll say. Those are always the best stories. But in KBY, when I was back in yeshiva, so I remember we had absolutely no light in our room. I was dorming with three people for a total of four. And there was someone who had a whole cake who they had in our room. But it was pitch black and people were sleeping. So they decided to eat it. And they felt really sick and queasy afterwards. And when they woke up the next day, they saw the whole thing was covered in ants. So you can... imagine, I think there was some reactions, some physical reactions afterwards. But it was an unpleasant experience. You can imagine, even without the ants, though. The point is, eating without light is never a good idea. What? No, I don't think this was a... I don't know. I guess it's in the dark. You just grab a piece and you throw it in your mouth. Really gross. Anyways, that was... really, really gross. Okay, sorry. That's why we make this year not before dinner, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, what about the Rambam? So we have Rashi saying kavod, we have Tosfos saying oneg. If you look in the Rambam, there's something very, very strange, because the Rambam seems to say both. If you look back in our source 4, so you jump to Halacha Hey, So he says, "V'tzarich l'sakin beso mi ba'od yom mipnei kavod Shabbos." So you have to go and get your whole house ready for Shabbos as a form of kavod Shabbos. You go and prepare everything, show how I'm excited for Shabbos. V'yener daluk, and you should have a candle which is lit. V'shulchan aruch, and you should have the table set. Umita mutzas, and you should have the bed set. Shekol elu l'chavod Shabbos hein. All these are a form of kavod Shabbos, of showing honor to Shabbos. I light the candle, I show that this is something which is important to me. That's the Rambam in Shabbos Perek Lamed. If you look, though, in source 5, the Rambam 25 Prakim earlier had told us not that it was because of Kavod, but because of a different mitzvah. If you look in source 5, the beginning, we'll get back to these first words, but the Echad Anashim Echad Nashim Chayavim Lios Bivasehen Ner Dalek Shabbos. Whether you're male or female, you have to have a candle lit in your house on Shabbos. Afilu Ein Lo Ma Yochal Shoel Al Hapsachim V'lokeach Shemen Umadli Kes Haner. So this is a very extreme statement, but even if you have nothing to eat, borrow money from someone to go and afford your Shabbos candles, so that you can then go ahead and light a candle. Shezeb bichlal oneg Shabbos. Because this is a form of oneg Shabbos, this will help you enjoy Shabbos. So, is it kavod, is it oneg? If it was a machlokas, I'd say, okay, fine, it's a machlokas. If the Rambam, though, says both. The Rambam said kavod Shabbos in Perek Lamed. In Perek Hey earlier, he said oneg Shabbos. So what is going on over here? So the answer, as you know, you might have kind of picked up on a little bit, is that the two are very closely related, kavod and oneg, right? I show my kavod Shabbos before Shabbos because what I do to show kavod is to prepare the house for something which is going to be, to have an enjoyable Shabbos. So I light all the candles before Shabbos. That's a form of kavod Shabbos. And then once Shabbos is already here, so it's a form of oneg Shabbos. I enjoy my meal more. I enjoy my time on Shabbos, and that's oneg Shabbos. And the Brisker Rav and others spell this out. They say, in theory, let's say you had someone else light your Shabbos candles for you on Shabbos. So you could have just the oneg Shabbos, right? Let's say the candles were lit, but not before Shabbos. So then you'd have the oneg Shabbos aspect. And if you lit the candles and you showed your respect for Shabbos and they went out before your meal, so you would have fulfilled kavod Shabbos. You would have shown that you're appreciating Shabbos from beforehand, but you wouldn't have had the extra, that extra layer, that extra level of oneg Shabbos. So those are the two reasons. What we have to get back to is, well, what happened to the main reason which everyone's heard of, right? Where did this whole shalom bayis idea come from? That's what I think most people have heard of. So the truth is there's another Gemara. Why do we light candles? So says this is a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos on source 7, it says, Amar Rava. Rava said, Pshita li, it's obvious to me the following. Ner beso v'ner Chanukah. Let's say I can only afford, it's Chanukah and it's Shabbos coming up. I can only afford candles for either Shabbos or Chanukah. So which one do I choose? How do I prioritize which type of candles I should get for myself? I'm just the bare minimum to go and buy one of those two. So he says, Ner beso adif. It makes more sense to buy Shabbos candles than Chanukah candles. Why? Mishum shalom beso. Because it leads to peace in the house. Shalom bayis is a higher value than whatever is accomplished through Chanukah lighting. So better to buy Shabbos candles and to have an enjoyable meal, have the house lit, than to just have Chanukah candles lit by the door. Ner beso v'kiddush hayom. Ner beso adif mishum shalom beso. Similarly, if you only can afford to have candles or to have kiddush, so you should buy the ner, you should buy the Shabbos candles, because shalom beso. I once heard I saw in Rav Shlomo Zalman a sefer about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, so it said that he was once asked, and then someone else told me, it was sort of told about some other gadol, they say about certain stories that they're AGGs. This is something I heard from someone. AGG means any given gadol. So you have a story, and it could be him, it could be that person, or maybe it happened to 10 different gadolim, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was asked, hey, the ideal candle lighting is whatever, let's say 6 o'clock is the ideal time to light Hanukkah candles. My wife isn't coming home until 10 p.m. Should I wait to go and should I light during the ideal time by myself and have her light, separately, or should I wait for her to at 10 o'clock? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said it's basically a Gemara. The Gemara says if I can choose between Ner Shabbos and Ner Hanukkah, so I should choose Hadlakas Neros Shabbos because of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is a greater ideal than the Chanukah lights. So he said, for sure you should wait until your wife comes home because Shalom Bayis is an even higher value than the Chanukah lights themselves at all. So that's how he learned a nice idea from this Gemara. Okay, so the implication of this Gemara, though, is that this is the more famous part, Shalom Bayis. So what's Shalom Bayis mean? Anyone want to translate what the Shalom Bayis is?
Peace in the house.
Okay, so in what sense is there peace of the house because I lit a candle?
We're not banging into each other.
Okay, you're not bumping into each other. Great. So Rashi basically says what you're saying. Rashi says, Hadlakas near b'Shabbos, in source 8, Shelo haya lo mima lahadlik. This is this is referencing a different Gemara we haven't seen, but the person didn't have something to light. Uvimakum she'ein ner ein shalom. If there's no light, so there's no shalom. Why? Shaholech v'nichshal v'holech b'afela. He walks and he trips on things and he walks in the darkness. You're bumping into everything. You're bumping into each other. There's not shalom when you are bumping into everyone else. So it's nothing to do with, let's say, shalom bias is sometimes used for bias as in everyone, and sometimes shalom bias is used as like a husband and wife specifically. So according to Rashi, this has nothing to do with husband and wife. This is, the six-year-old's also going to be bumping into everything. And
Especially.
What? Especially into everything. And so is the 55 and the whatever. Everyone is going to be bumping into things. Shalom bayis just means you want your house to be a place which is, a enjoyable, nice place to live around. There's another explanation, though, given by the Rambam. If you look in source 9, the Rambam says, I think, the way which shalom bayis is maybe more often used. He says, of ner beso v'ner chaneko, ner beso v'kiddush hayom, ner beso kodem mishum shalom beso. So he quotes the Gemara that Shabbos candles is kodem to, it gets kadima, that's what we prioritize over kiddush and over ner chaneko. Shaharei, and because of shalom bayis, and he says, how do I know shalom bayis is so great? Shaharei Hashem nimchak la'aso shalom bein ish le'ishto. Because the name of Hashem is erased to make peace between man and wife. What is he referring to? The Sota one, right. So what happens with the Sota waters? A woman is accused of committing adultery, and then husband basically said, don't seclude yourself with a specific man. And then, a specific man, and then she still, nonetheless, however it happened, secluded herself with that man. There's witnesses who testify it. So to that, you can imagine that creates a little bit of tension back home. So assuming that she is, didn't do anything, so we drink the Sota waters, and the way you prepare the Sota waters is you actually take Shem Hashem, you take God's name, amongst other psukim, and those psukim are put into the water, they become erased. And so we are willing to tear up basically God's name in order to create shalom, so you see how great the value of shalom bayis is. So the Rambam seems to understand that shalom bayis here means more about a husband and wife specifically. So that's just an interesting point, why exactly this creates greater shalom bayis is a good question, but I guess if you can't see anything, so it makes a little bit of tension at home. We can't see anything, honey. This is a little bit hard over here. So the Rambam emphasizes the shalom bayis aspect from the husband and wife relationship. So I guess the big question is, if it's really all about shalom bayis, we're trying not to trip on things and we're trying not to bump into each other, whatever it is. Why does this have anything to do with Shabbos? Like, why don't we say, Chazal should have told us every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so you should light a candle at night so that you guys don't bump into each other. That's a good idea. Shalom bayis is a great thing. What?
Well, you should light it before.
Okay. Oh, so you're saying they said it was just practical. Don't forget to light a candle so that you're not miserable on Shabbos.
Monday, you might light it at 9 o'clock. Friday afternoon, you might light it at 6:30.
You're saying they didn't require it because you could have taken care of it later.
Possibly.
Okay.
Well, it's also they didn't back then they tend to go to sleep around the time when the sun set. So at this point when Shabbos comes, you can't do that.
That's interesting. You're saying back in the day, once it got dark, so that was that. And you just go to sleep. I remember Rav Schechter telling me that when he grew up by his grandparents, he used to live here, and electricity was a new thing which was very expensive. And so he would learn until they lit candles right before when it became nighttime, but the candles only lasted for an hour, whatever it was. And when they went out, everyone just went to sleep. That was it. Like, what were you going to do, So maybe that's the truth. Maybe just people, once it got dark, so what are you going to do? So time to go to sleep. And on Shabbos, maybe everyone's staying up a little bit later. That's a very interesting idea. Shabbos then, if you think about it, during the winter, 5:30 bedtime sounds pretty good. But on a normal day. Well, right. In the winter, it's dark until, it's dark for a long night. So,
yeah, but regardless, if they're supposed to light around sunset, and then they still have the Shabbos meal, then they're good to.
Right. They're going to be up a little late, and they're going to need candles for a while. That's a possibility. For sure, that's a possibility. I'll tell you an interesting point, which, you know, there's a problem here, which is I don't understand, what's the point of this mitzvah? Is it Kavod Shabbos? Is it Oneg Shabbos? Is it Shalom Bayis? This mitzvah has so many different reasons flying around for what's going on. So what a lot of Achronim say, and it's actually sourced earlier in the Mordechai, is that all of these actually come together. The Kavod Shabbos, the Oneg Shabbos, whatever, I show my respect for Shabbos. How do I show my respect for Shabbos? By making sure that we don't bump into each other. You're right. You probably should never be bumping into each other. It's not a good idea Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. at nighttime. But we weren't mechayev you to do that. We didn't tell you you have a requirement to not bump into each other. On Shabbos, though, we're trying to show Shabbos is special. We want to make sure we're enjoying it. Whether that's Kavod Shabbos, whether that's Oneg Shabbos, you have to demonstrate, you have to do something to demonstrate your appreciation for Shabbos. And so, despite that it's a good idea never to, you know, have a house which is completely dark, because of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, that's what created the impetus to say, okay, you know, this is now a requirement. The Shalom Bayis has to, it becomes necessary when before it was just a good idea. Okay, fine. So that's the basic background over here. I just want to spell out. So why do we care so much about Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? Like, what does it matter? So I'll tell you two different, again, what are those two ideas? Is it all about that this is some sort of preparation to show your appreciation for Shabbos? Or is the main point that on Shabbos itself, you're enjoying it? So there's two different machlokos which happened between, took place between two Balei HaTosfos, between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Tam was probably the most, you know, influential Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Tam was a super genius. He also was not a very clear writer, it happens to be. Some of the super geniuses are not the clearest writers. And he had Talmidim, though, who took his writings, and they basically, not their writings, but what he said over, and they whittled them down into things which we could understand a lot better, and they put it on the side of our Gemaras called the Tosfos. But Rabbeinu Tam actually wrote a Sefer himself called the Sefer HaYashar, and it's his responsa and all sorts of different things back and forth, and it's very, very hard to read. So unless you know what Rabbeinu Tam holds beforehand, sometimes it's hard to know what's going on in the Sefer HaYashar, and then you look inside and you figure out exactly what was going on. But he got into a whole machlokas with Rabbeinu Meshulam. And Rabbeinu Meshulam was, I guess, a contemporary, and Rabbeinu Tam starts off with like a scathing rebuke. He said, I heard the following, you're trying to change all of our minhagim. I heard you say not to make a bracha on Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. Rabbeinu Meshulam was telling everyone, there's no reason to make a bracha on this thing. So Rabbeinu Meshulam responds to that accusation, among many other accusations of things which he heard that he was changing minhagim. And Rabbeinu Meshulam writes in Seres 10, Heishiv Harav Rabbeinu Meshulam. So this part is the writing is much clearer because this is Rav Meshulam writing, not Rabbeinu Tam. And he just, it made its way into the Sefer because that's what he wrote. So he says, Anochi hanivzeh v'hanim'as, I am nothing. I am mevuzeh. That's a hard word to, what?
Dust and
ashes. Yeah, dust and ashes. I'm nothing, Navardik. What am I? Meshiv Rabosav, I'm going to go tell you my response, etc., about the things which are making you so upset. So you look at the beginning of Vav, he says, Ubirkas ner kamokein horahu, I forgot to get rid of the 12, v'noheg tchila, he said, Rabbeinu Meshulam paskins, and he thinks this is correct, v'chem b'mkomos acherim harbei ra'inu she'ei noagin levarich. He says, I don't think you should make a bracha, and I've seen that you don't make a bracha on many people don't make a bracha. And he says, v'tayma d'mistaber, and it makes a lot of sense that that's the case, she'ein hadlaka sa gemar mitzvasa, because the lighting of the candles itself is not the completion of the mitzvah. The whole point of lighting is so that we'll have light at night. So how can you make a bracha on lighting candles? The mitzvah is to have the light later on. I don't make a bracha on a non-mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have light later on. It's true, I have to light it now in order to have light later on. But he says, you shouldn't make a bracha because what's the point? Meaning, not what's the point, but this itself is not the mitzvah. Let's say it gets blown out before my meal. So he says, you haven't done any mitzvah. I haven't done any mitzvah. So why should I go and make a bracha? That was Rabbeinu Meshulam's argument. And Rabbeinu Tam was very upset about that. One of our Tosfos, so we have a one-liner where Rabbeinu Tam said that that's a mistake to think such a thing. But the simple explanation for what they're arguing about is that Rabbeinu Meshulam thinks that the mitzvah is Oneg Shabbos. He thinks that the whole goal of candlelighting is the enjoyment on Shabbos. And so you haven't gotten any enjoyment if just from the lighting itself. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam...
The anticipation.
What?
You can have some enjoyment from the anticipation.
It's true, but right now it's light outside, the candles aren't doing so much. Nowadays our candles have a much more symbolic impact, which maybe we'll talk about in future weeks. But back in the day, everyone used candle. The only type of non-sun candle of light was the candles. candles during the daytime aren't so exciting because they don't do so much, and we see candles all the time. So Rabbeinu Meshulam seems to have thought that it was an idea of Oneg Shabbos, and for that reason he thought you shouldn't make a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam, though, thought, no, this is in itself the mitzvah. Why is this the mitzvah? Because the moment that I light the candles, I'm demonstrating my respect for Shabbos.
Right.
Even though I haven't yet gotten that enjoyment later on. And they have another machlokas. If you look at the end of this this same quote, he says, similarly, says Rabbeinu Meshulam, let's say that it was already lit. So, excuse me, let's say you already had a candle which was lit from before Shabbos. Let's say, you had a really super long Yahrzeit candle running since noon on Friday. So Rabbeinu Meshulam says, do I have to light new Shabbos candles if I've already got candles going from beforehand? He says, nah. If you've got a good candle, which is lit, and everything's good, so you don't have to relight anything. This is, as long as you have a light at the end of the day, Rabbeinu Meshulam's whole perspective is, as long as you'll have that light once Shabbos comes, so you have the Oneg Shabbos. You're going to enjoy your meal because you'll be able to see, regardless of whether you lit this specifically for Shabbos or not.
But if you didn't light it specifically for Shabbos, you wouldn't have said a bracha.
Right, so this is Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam thinks, I don't make a bracha. He thinks the whole point, the lighting itself is not significant. It's just, make sure that you have an enjoyable meal. So he thinks there's no bracha on the lighting itself. And he also thinks, and if it's been lit for 24 hours, that's fine too, as long as it stays lit by the meal.
That one obviously didn't make it.
Correct. So that one didn't make it. This is Rabbeinu Meshulam's perspective. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, in all circumstances, you have to blow it out and you have to relight it. Again, because Rabbeinu Tam's whole perspective is that maybe he agrees there's Oneg Shabbos, but he thinks there's also Kavod Shabbos. Part of the goal of candle lighting is to show your respect, to show your honor for Shabbos. So if you have a candle lit from 11 a.m., so no one knows that you lit that candle a Kavod Shabbos. They think you lit it for, the Yahrzeit candle or whatever you lit. So you have to go and light special candles just for Shabbos.
But once it becomes Shabbos and the candle is lit, since I say the candle is on, once the candle is lit, once it's dark and it's Shabbos and the candle is lit, people looking at it would assume that you had lit it for Shabbos.
Maybe. It's a good question. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. If it's a Yahrzeit candle, they'd figure out you probably lit it for a Yahrzeit. If it's just a very long candle, so who knows what purpose you lit it for. But I hear what you're saying. But that's probably what's going on between these two Balei Tosfos. Okay, so that's, as you mentioned, Frida, so we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We say at the very least, there certainly is Kavod Shabbos. We obviously do make a bracha on Hadlakas Neros. And if you had lights before, let's say you had the electric lights running, or you had other candles nearby, you would have to still light special candles just for the purpose of Shabbos. Okay, one other thing I wanted to touch upon tonight was why do women specifically do Hadlakas Neros? We saw earlier just... that's interesting. At Mount Sinai, that's not the case. Candle lighting is 18 minutes before and before Shkia, and 13 minutes before is Mincha. So, in theory, we could change the times around to make it that the men would do it also, but that's an interesting idea.
Well, in theory, it means that, but also a little bit more, at least in terms of the way we do it today, that for men, a lot of time when women don't go to shul on Friday night, they're doing the same thing that men end up doing at the end of Kabbal Shabbos. The last two...
You're saying they're being Mekabel Shabbos.
Yeah.
But in theory, we could have done it that the men would daven Mincha early, and then they'd light candles, and they'd accept Shabbos that way.
But Mincha is still not Shabbos.
Yet. Right. We'd have to get Mincha earlier, so maybe that's part of what's going on.
No, but exactly the women are doing it as a way for them to be Mekabel Shabbos.
Oh, right. Very good. Yeah, excellent.
Right. So that's true. All the time, women light with the Tanai, and then daven Mincha afterwards. We're going to talk about this Tanai and the whole accepting Shabbos through candlelight, and that'll be for probably next week when we get to all the fun relevant halachos. This is still just the background, but that's a good point. So maybe that's one reason. I'll tell you, it's certainly sourced very, very early, because the Mishnah in, although it's clear that both men and women are chayiv in this mitzvah, the Mishnah has a very strong statement, which we say in davening every Friday night. It says, "Al shalosh averos nashim mesos bishas leidasam." Mishnah, this is not common at all for a Mishnah to do. It says there are three sins which cause women to die during childbirth. Strong opening statement to a Mishnah. "Al she'enon zihiros benida, B'chala uvi'adlak hazaner. So the first two are not our shir, but the final one, because they aren't careful about lighting Shabbos candles. So what's clear from the Mishnah already is that the onus, the responsibility for making sure that there's a candle lit in the home, is the woman of the house's responsibility. If there's someone who's home alone or isn't yet married, and they also have a chiv to go light candles, but even when people are married, so it's the woman's job specifically, it's her responsibility. So where did that come from? What's the reason for that? So we had one idea here that it's for Kabbalah Shabbos. The one which, anyone else ever hear any other ones before I jump in? No, this is, I remember there was something like mystical, but I... Why do women, why is it the woman's mitzvah, specifically hadlakas neiros? So what the Shulchan Aruch says, and what many Rishonim say, is just practically women are more in charge of the house than the man. They are doing most of the preparations. Practical concern, she'd like the candles the same way that she'd probably set the table. That's just what the Shulchan Aruch says. If you look in the Medrash, which I didn't give you the whole Medrash, but the Medrash Rashi, there's a whole bunch of Rishonim who say this idea. I just gave you the short version in the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Source 14. It says, "Ve'od mipnei she kavsa neiros shel olam." She, in reference to Chava, extinguished the candle of the world. What's the candle of the world? Candle of the world is the soul. That we say that ner neshama, that a ner is compared to a soul, and Adam and Chava were going to live forever. And then she gave in to the Nachash, ended up messing up Adam, and then they live much, much shorter. The neshamas are then eventually extinguished. So as a, not as a punishment, but as a form of, so let's use read a tikkun, right? Lekach nitnu la mitzvahs hadlakas ner Shabbos shetitakein ma shekilkila. So she could fix the issue which she originally caused. This on a metaphysical level is you extinguish the fire. Now we let you make that up by lighting. This is your mitzvah to go and light the candle which was extinguished by your female predecessor.
Is it all sort of not focus on exactly this little light of mine? I'm gonna let it shine.
Okay, you're gonna have to send me this like the Chafetz Chaim pillow feather thing. I'm not sure I know what you're referencing.
it's from North.
I heard it.
What?
I heard it. Yeah. I heard it.
Yeah. It's got Christian roots.
I haven't heard it. Sure.
No, it's got. Christian.
It's about Neros Chanukah.
It's somewhere borderline between folk song and Christian hymn, but it's pretty toned down. The Christian overly Christian. I don't know the rest of the words to it, but it's cute.
Okay, so potentially because of that reason, he says. Let's say the husband says, "I want the mitzvah ha'isha kodemes," so she can say, "Nah, this one's mine. I get to do the tikkun, not you." What? No, they're not. She can say, "I want to do it." So that's what she's allowed to claim. Umikol makom, this is a very interesting idea. Umikol makom toshu yis asik b'tikkun apsilos v'neros. It's a good thing for the husband to go and prepare the candles, to go and prepare the wicks and the candles themselves, so that she can light. Her mitzvah is to do the lighting. She extinguished the fire, relight the fire, but the man should try and do something towards this mitzvah. He should go and get the candles ready. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out maybe that's what's up with the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there's three things why women pass away during childbirth for. Al-she'enon zihirus be, nida, chala, and the next word should have been biner. Why doesn't it say she's not careful with nida, chala, and it should have said, and the candle? But it doesn't say the candle. It says behadlakas haner. It says specifically the lighting of the candle. So why say the lighting? Rabbi Kiva Eger argues because her mitzvah is specifically just to do the lighting. It's not that she has her mitzvah doesn't. I mean, it's wonderful. She has the chiyuv just like the man does, but she has no extra mitzvah to go and prepare the candles any more than the man does. So in that sense, many have a minhag to for the man to go and prepare everything, and then the woman does the lighting itself. So maybe we'll just, I'll tell you one final reason from the Zohar, not on the sheet. The Zohar is a very fascinating reason. The Zohar says that a woman is like the Shekhinah. Every woman is like the Shekhinah in a certain sense. The Shekhinah is, I don't know what this means exactly, but when we refer to God, the Shekhinah is always feminine. So the woman is the queen of the house the same way that the Shekhinah is the queen of the world. The same way that the Shekhinah creates souls. So when women who are trying to copy the Shekhinah are trying to copy that, so we can't create souls just like that. But we can light the candles, which kind of copy what a neshama is.
When you say, okay, God creates souls,
right?
You could say, in some sense, women obviously listen up from men, create souls.
That's true also. Right, but they can't do that every Shabbos. That would be something.
That is no longer an option.
I mean, if we see the size of some of these families of like 14, 15 children, you have to wonder.
Even then, fine. So,
there's a custom home for women to light an extra candle for each child.
Good. Okay. Good. So we'll have to get to that. That's. There's a bunch of different suggestions made, so we'll save that for. I think that'll be next week or the week after.
When it says I'm using the English here. Talking about Abraham and Sarah and all the souls that they had gotten.
Right.
That's making converts. That's not.
Right. Okay, if you could convert someone every week, that'd be pretty good too. But it's easier to light a candle probably just in terms of... And then maybe I'll just... So the way it generally works is it's the woman's mitzvah, but what she does covers the whole household. So let's say, you know, the woman of the house is away. So who's supposed to do it? Then the men or... let's say you had adult daughters. Do the adult daughters, or not adult daughters, but let's say bat mitzvah daughters, or the husband of the house. Who's supposed to do it next? I'm seeing.
It's the daughter.
Oh, okay. It's the daughter. Anyone ever hear anything? Okay, you don't know. So the answer is it's a machlokas. And maybe the reason is a machlokas. It might depend on which reason you emphasize. If you emphasize it's just that this is the person who's in charge of the house, so chances are when mom's away, it's dad's responsibility to set up the house. It depends on how old our daughter. Okay. I hit a nerve over there. Potentially, it is the husband's job to go and make sure that the rest of the house is good. If the whole point, though, is that the women either, you know, are trying to emulate the Shechina because they're both feminine, or that women are trying to make up, in a certain sense, for what Chava did, so then it should be the adult, the bat mitzvah daughters who do it. That's a machlokas everyone should do.
Also, whatever you do.
That's true too. Right.
But it's educational, but it's not
the mitzvah, and then, you know. No, you get the mitzvah no matter what. Meaning, if anyone does it, even if the husband jumps up and lights the candles before his wife, you know, that's terrible shalom bayis. It's a really, really bad idea. The one case where the Mishnah Berurah recommends that is if they're getting really, really close to Shabbos and she's not ready yet. So the Mishnah Berurah says light the candles so that she doesn't, you know, light unintentionally after Shkia. Well, so actually that's interesting. If the husband lights, it doesn't become Shabbos for her if the husband lights. Yeah, exactly. So there actually is a whole discussion in the post. That works. I mean, if the husband lights, so then that will fulfill everyone's obligation. There's a whole fun discussion in the Achronim. There's generally a requirement if you steal someone's mitzvah to pay them 10 zehuvim, to pay them 10 gold coins. So a whole discussion, if you steal your wife's mitzvah, do you owe her 10 gold coins? Obviously, the answer is going to be no to this one, but just...
Can we... Yeah, in some other series, can we please talk about this notion of getting a mitzvah? Like you're racking up running.
Like it's points.
It's not, in my not so humble opinion, it's not, you do a mitzvah.
Right.
You don't get right. A point. You don't get a mitzvah. I mean, whatever.
I hear this. That might be a grammatical
Shabbos
is talisim thing.
That's like another way of expressing the question of have you actually done a mitzvah or not
right.
Doing whatever it was.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to light new candles if her husband lit the candles.
Does she get credit for it?
They get credit as a family.
Right.
And then maybe we'll finish with one last thing. There's a tefillah which I think everyone says. I don't really know. I don't know enough households. But you know, whenever you light Shabbos candles, there's some sort of standard tefillahs. The Rabbeinu Bechai, it's got a lot of sources. But the idea is when you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, so right after a mitzvah is a particularly opportune time to go and daven, which is why by the candles, right after lighting, there's a minhag for women to daven afterwards as well. And there's specific... the Gemara specifically talk about how if one lights candles, that's a schus for having children who are talmidei chachamim, who are good, healthy, religious children. So that's why I think in that text we specifically daven for that. Maybe we'll end with that, and we'll get into more of the details of these halachos. But thank you everyone for coming, and for all those listening after going to the Mount Sinai board meeting. Thank you for listening.